Thank you very much. On behalf of the city, I want to congratulate the Southern Alberta Council of Public Affairs for 40 years of debate and inquiry and thought. My remarks won't be in the form of a toast. I'm going to make two presentations. My first presentation will be to the Southern Alberta Council of Public Affairs. This award from the City of Lethbridge, it says, City of Lethbridge Award of Good Citizenship presented to the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs on the occasion of 40 years of service to the community of Lethbridge, and signed Mayor Tarlick. And Terry, if I can have you come up to receive this.
Thank you very much.
And I have a presentation to make to Gordon as well, and unlike just about everyone else in this room, I have no intention of roasting someone I respect so much. There are some things that others of you may laugh at, but I don't. Frequent mention is made of his speedy piano lesson or playing. And this was pretty sedate today. You come to a Qantas meeting. He's the only person in the world who can play O Canada with the speed of an Olympic sprinter on steroids. But I don't mock him for that. I didn't respect him for that. I noticed as well, you know, how elegantly he's dressed, and it's his whole manner that is elegant and dignified, and I respect him for that. We live in an era which is very different from that. I mean, you know, young people today, I call it millennial casual. Anything goes. But Gordon, I want to say that I respect you for the dignity of your clothes and your manner and your speaking. It suits you. It fits right in there in the 18th century. And I want to say that I've always had tremendous respect for your perseverance and your diligence and your incredible optimism. A number of years ago, I was talked into being the campaign manager in a federal election. It was for Doug Petherbridge. And that was a real learning experience. And we didn't win that election. In fact, we didn't come close. There was another party that I think had only been in operation for 7 weeks, and they beat us. And you might have thought that Gordon would have been discouraged by that. But we had the wrap-up meeting, and he said, you know, I think we made a real breakthrough in this election. I think people are beginning to ask the right questions, and the next election, that'll bear fruit. We're still waiting, Gordon, but Gordon has that. Gordon, from someone who has incredible respect for you, I want to make this gift from the City of Lethbridge as you come up here and open it.
Can we get you two to stand aside from this and take a picture?
Sure.
Stand away from the lectern.
And take it out, please, make a better picture. Take it out. Oh, key to the City of Lethbridge.
Okay, now, are you finished, Bob? Just before you leave the platform, I wonder if the three of you would care to come up and pose for a picture. I've been reminded this is somewhat of a historical moment. We may not all be together in the same place again. So let's have the three of you come up, and we'll take a picture of the five of you, and then we'll move into our, actually into our dessert and question period.
So, you three would come up.
Okay, now two or three things are going to happen at once here. We have a cake, actually, and I'm going to ask Gordon, if you'd go to the back corner there and help us cut it. And maybe we want to take a picture of that, too. So, sorry about this, but the far right corner, Gordon. No, the cake's in the right. And... And as Gordon is doing that, do you want to speak, Myrna?
No, I want you to sign this. Sorry.
Okay. As Gordon is doing that, I'm going to invite people to come to the platform and make some remarks. So we'll open the mic at this point, and then the staff can serve the cake. And we'll all live happily ever after. So, Mark, give your name and be brief, and then carry on.
Hi, I'm Mark Sandilands. I've known Gordon for about 40 years, and I have many memories of working with Gordon. I worked at the university with Gordon for all but one of his years here, and all of, I don't know, maybe Gordon retired about 1990, I think, Gordon. Anyway, as I said, I've known Gordon for quite a long time, and I have many memories, but I'd like to mention that Gordon brings to mind a word, and it's an interesting word. It's the word proactive. And it's in two senses that I'm going to talk about this word. I'm a psychologist, and psychologists actually invented the word proactive about 70 years ago when they were discussing memory. And when you have a memory that interferes with the learning of new material, that's called a proactive interference. So if I met Terry and I had previously known somebody else named Terry, I might confuse that previous person with Terry. And with Gordon, Gordon and I both have sons named Doug. And Gordon also has a daughter. What's your daughter's name? Janet. There you go. You know, there's two things about getting old. One is that your memory goes, and the other one is... Well, forget it. Whatever. Well, okay. If somebody else would like to come up and push me out, I'd be happy. Anyway, so Gordon met my son Doug a little bit before I think he met me or was aware of me. And every time Gordon sees me, he says, "Doug, how are you doing?" And this causes Gordon no end of consternation because he likes to pride himself as a man with good memory. And so when he calls me Doug instead of Mark, Gordon, it's Mark. "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Anyway, Gordon, this is proactive interference. You learned Doug Sandilands before you learned Mark Sandilands, and that interferes with your memory. That's the word proactive. Now, that word proactive has come to mean people who take control of situations before other people are aware of them, and that's Gordon Campbell. Gordon is aware of things, and he takes control, and he sets up operations and says, "We need to act on this," and that's Gordon Campbell. So in both senses of the word, Gordon Campbell reminds me of the word proactive. Thanks for your time.
Gordon wants to speak, but I invite others of you to come forward and get in line.
Just while everybody's coming in line, I want to say something about being proactive. When we first came to Lethbridge, I heard discussions in beer parlors on the street and everything that these niggers in Lethbridge, I couldn't believe who they were talking about. And the niggers that were being talked about in discussion were the Hutterites. And the Hutterites would go, for example, this kind of gossipy talk, would go to a beer parlor, hope to make a friend of a white, and take them back to the colony, impregnate and change the gene pool so as to keep the colony going. It was a shocking, shameful thing to happen in the community, and I felt this had to be changed. So that was the part of the initiatives of getting the council started so we have a place to talk. And when we got, nobody knew this, when we got to this of giving a speech making, which I did, I happened to mention that this was impossible to live in a community where there were two standards for citizenship. This was not Canada. House was not my Canada.
The remark was quoted in the Northbridge Herald, and a farmer from Viking slapped a libel suit on me personally. I was scared. I had Sylvia and some children. I didn't know what was meant by this or what the implications were. So I engaged Shumi Atcher in Regina, the best lawyer I knew, at some cost, and for the next 2 years was warned by him not to speak. And then he told me, this is the way you do it when you want to shut somebody up. Just throw a lawsuit off the libel. Don't do anything else. Just throw a lawsuit. Then I knew we had to have a discussion forum where everybody could speak and meet and deal with these images of wickedness of people being second-rate by their color or their religion or anything.
Well, thanks for that, Gordon. I think that fight is still being carried on here in southern Alberta. I thought it would be worthwhile to have another Campbell up here to give some honesty to some of the discussion that we've been hearing today, because we are shy and retiring people. I spoke with the Duke earlier this week, Gordon, from Inverary, but he was unable to be here, so I want you to know that his lordship sends his greetings to you. But on that note, you should know a little bit about the Campbells. As I said, shy and retiring people. We had a family reunion on my line of the family in Scotland in the year 2000. And the clan historian, who is a MacDonald, and I'm not making that up, those of you who know Scottish history will get the irony of that. There's a 40-volume history of the clan, and actually, at I think it's at the middle of volume 20, the world begins. And we are noted as being people who do get involved in the community from time to time. And so Gordon is the epitome of that. He is one who has, as we've heard today, given outstanding leadership to injustices that he perceives and that he wants to make the community a better place to be. So I think he comes by it honestly. Prior to, again, going back into the history, it was a very, very calm history. There are places in the Highlands, of course, where Campbells still cannot go. There are signs saying, "No Campbells welcome," especially around a little place called Glencoe, but we won't go into that either. Yes, I am. I'm going to be brief. So, as I say, with the voluminous history of the Campbells, it's no wonder that Gordon has come to epitomize sort of the apex of the clan in terms of his community involvement and all of those things. And as one who tried to chair the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs for a couple of years, I take my hat off to Gordon because it's an absolutely impossible job. And with that, I just want to pay tribute as one adult educator to another. I salute you and all the best in your future.
As presiding chair, I certainly know what Bob means, that it's an impossible job presiding over a meeting of these people. Go around.
I just want to say three quick things. One, just a little story. I was at my orthotics place the other day, and the fellow was looking at my hips and my feet. He said, "Do you realize you have one leg that's shorter than the other and that you naturally lean to the left?" And I said, "Good, good." And along those lines, I was sitting over at the table here, and my seatmate said to me, do you know Gordon well?" And I said, "Well, you know, we agree on certain things." And he kind of looked downcast and said, "Well, I'm so sorry to hear that." I said, well, you know, I mean, you need some people of a certain leaning in this area as a bit of leaven. And he said, no, it's just that it's so much more fun when you disagree with Gordon. And that's one of the things that I've noticed about Gordon is that he has very definite opinions about things. He happily rides into combat, political combat in relation to those opinions. He's a happy warrior, but he's also a courteous warrior who respects his opponents in debate, and I think that's a lovely thing to see. One other quick thing, and that is that Gordon is a tall man, but he also stands on the shoulders of giants. One of the things I'd like to say about SACPA is that it does stand in a long 100-year tradition in rural Western Canada. And that's a tradition that, for example, the early United Farmers were part of close to 90 years ago. And what the United Farmers believed in fundamentally was not just better grain prices. What they believed in was the importance of citizenship, democracy from the ground up, democracy within families, democracy within schools, not just voting, not just flags in the classroom, but active practice democracy in every aspect of life. And that is one thing that Gordon and SACPA has stood for that I think is fundamentally important. Democracy, freedom of speech, and no double standards when it comes to citizenship. The other thing the United Farmers believed in was the importance of education. Education not just within the school walls, but education in every aspect of life. They called it education for the whole person, education of body and mind, and education that was lifelong. And in that tradition, Gordon stands in the tradition of E.A. Corbett, for example, one of the founders of the Banff Center. And I think he's been a really worthy carrier of that tradition, and long may that tradition continue. So thank you, Gordon.
I just have a little story. I'm Myrna Green. Not so much about SACPA, but something that I think sort of illustrates Gordon's stature. I come from a history of nursing, and in those days, if you saw a doctor anywhere off the horizon, you stood up, and you stayed standing until they were out of your line of vision. So when I left nursing and went to the university, one of my first classes was with Dr. Campbell. So it was called Interaction Lab, and this imposing, tall man walked into the classroom, and I start to stand up. Well, of course, nobody stood up. I held on to my chair. And after the class, he said, Myrna, you must call me Gordon. Everybody's calling me Gordon. I said, oh, Dr. Campbell, it's all I can do not to kiss your ring. And this was how I saw him. And I still see him as awe-inspiring.
I'm Susan Giffen, and my little claim to fame with SACPA is that until I noticed another young man in the audience today, I've always been able to say I'm the only second-generation person who attends, because my mother and father came to SACPA for years, sat in the corner, that corner, for years and years and years, and then eventually I sat with the gray-haired ladies, and now I'm one. But there we go. But what I want to tell you about Gordon, we do know that Gordon is of a known political stripe. We all know that. And we also know, and if you probably know, that Susan is of another political stripe, a very nice one. And at one point when we were heading up to a provincial election and Ken Nicol was getting ready to run, we were going to have a dinner. And the leader was coming to Lethbridge and it was going to be a big shenanigan. And they were going to introduce all the Southern Alberta candidates. And we were making all kinds of plans. And somebody said, we need to sing O Canada. And I thought, and I thought, and I thought, Gordon. And you know, gracious man that he is, he attended a Liberal dinner. He played O Canada. And I said to everybody, sing fast. And he did. I think he was there spying, but we won't go into that. But that is the graciousness of Gordon Campbell. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Niall McKenna, and I appear to be, once again, when I come here, I appear to always be the youngest person by a landslide. I hope no one takes offense to that. But I'm here just on a visit. I actually live in Regina at the moment, and when my mother came to tell me that there was something to do with Gordon Campbell, I didn't hesitate at all to come down here, and I'm not quite sure what the occasion was, but I was glad to hear that, amazed to hear that it's been 40 years that SACPA has been around. Also nice to see Sylvia. Sylvia was my high school social studies teacher for a while. And just a quick story, Bob Tarlick here sort of reminded me of this and how remarkable it was, Bob Tarlick winning also by a landslide when he won, despite having a very low-key campaign at the time. And I remember being at the victory party and looking over at Sylvia, who looked very much bewildered, and I said, Sylvia, are you okay? And she said, well, I'm just amazed. I think this is the first campaign party that I've been to where the person that I've been supporting has actually won. But Gordon has been, the reason I didn't hesitate, of course, is Gordon has always been an incredibly influential person in my life, always somebody who, no matter what I've been doing, whether it's been juggling or coming here to talk about landmines several years ago, or now I'm a journalist, Gordon has always been sort of an incredibly gracious and gushing individual. He's probably the only person that I know who isn't family that strides towards me and plants a large kiss on my cheek virtually every time that he sees me. But I take that Gordon is sort of almost a bit of a father figure in some ways, and just gives this sort of unconditional love and acceptance and support towards me. So I thank him for that, and congratulations.
Thank you. Well, Ruth Alzinga, it's just a pleasure to be able to honor you, for us to honor you at this occasion, because I'm recalling, and I know Ralph gave some history, but I recall coming home with a new baby, and we already had a two-year-old, and I remember a call from you, Gordon, inviting me to SACPA. And I'll tell you, as an at-home mom at that time, it was music to my ears, although I did find it difficult to attend for a few years. But I do remember that phone call. It was in 1970, and our kids have just turned 40 and 38. So I just know that you and SACPA have been a part of my life as soon as I could get involved, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I just would like to make one comment about your piano playing, which we all enjoy, and the tempo is you got to sing fast. But it's interesting, because my brother-in-law, Harry Alden, he goes to Kiwanis, of course, and he's used to your tempo. And I'm not the hockey fan that my husband is, but I occasionally go to a game. Now, if we could just sort of cross the two, I think we might have a perfect tempo. Because I know Harry, when he's come out, he said, man, are they slow. But then I've got to remember, he goes to Kiwanis. But anyway, Gordon, and to Sylvia. You two are very special people, and I'm recalling too when we're involved, when there was mention made of other organizations of which you've been a part. I know you've done some good work for the symphony and trying to boost their bottom line, and hosted a lunch at your home at one occasion that I was at, and I just know that you're a number one community supporter and a citizen, and it's an honor to have known you over these years, you and Sylvia.
Ruth is a well-known person in our community. She's a member of a particular political party. Skips my mind what one it was. But I always felt good when I could see Ruth coming to a meeting, opened the door, here I am, why not? And I know, Ruth, you're not going to agree with a single word when it's going to be said, I thought. But there was room for discourse, room for debate, room for exchange of opinions, and Ruth kept coming back. Became a moderator.
It's a good group.
Became a supporter, and and always welcome. When I knew Ruth was there, then I knew we were doing our part in the community.
And I can tell you on Tuesday night, now this, of course, is American politics, but I'm just so happy about that Obama phenomenon thing.
I know,
As he's coming to the mic, if you're thinking about speaking, please come to the front. I'm going to say a word or two, and then Gordon's going to get the last word, but there's room for a couple of other questions. So if you're thinking about jumping up, please do that.
I want to salute SACPA. I've had the opportunity to take advantage of SACPA on several occasions. Like, you know, when I have certain things in my mind that bubble along in there, it's so nice to share it with other people. It feels like mental health exercise. And as Gordon says, well, debate leads to democracy, so that's another initiative, impulse to do that. So I always felt good sort of receiving the highly intelligent questions after a presentation, and it's just a very healthy exercise. But I asked the question, is SACPA unique in Canada? Do other cities have an organization like this? Terry says he doesn't know of any. So I think it's unfortunate that other cities don't have this, because I'm convinced this organization, especially while it was televised and so on, now it's, of course, it's radio opportunity or audio. I'm convinced, Gordon and Sylvia, it had a huge impact on the level of awareness and discussion in the city. I'm convinced of it. Yeah. Thank you.
I thought you might be interested. I think what I have here is the first annual report, sort of statistical report. The note, I think this had to have been prepared by Gordon. It was in the years 1971, 1972. And I think that was probably the first full year that we operated. When we started out, it was every other week. But by 1971-72, it was every week. And I should put my glasses on. Maybe it's 72-73. Okay? In any event, I thought you might be interested. That year, from September through to the first September through to May, there were 20 meetings held, and the average attendance was 45 people. I think there's about 60, 65 of us here today. The fewest number was 22, and the largest was 105. There you go.
Thank you. We'll give you the third last word.
Michael Cormican here, kind of on behalf of the in-between or the liberal side. I know Diane isn't here. She has another engagement. She's the president of the Liberal Association, so I don't want my ND and conservative friends to outdo us. But over the years, somehow or other, and I think it was because of my political involvement that I got to know about SACPA, and I've attended occasionally when we're all younger. It's not that easy to get away from work, when especially it's in the middle of the day, and sometimes you might take meal times at, you know, to suit. But anyway, I got to know Gordon a little bit, and really got to know him last May, when we traveled together to Regina to the third ever Medicare conference. Douglas
conference.
That's right. And it's great to have a person like him, like the other gentleman here, Van Christu, Leonard. And as far as I know, there is no other place that has a group like this. It helps us come out of our shells, share with each other. As I always tell people, the only way we're going to survive is if we talk and get along with each other. Now, I would like to make one slight correction. Someone mentioned earlier that we have fallen behind number-wise in our city. My second son, was proofreading a letter for me about a week ago, and he emailed me back and said, Dad, we're not the fourth largest, and he lives in Toronto. He said, we're actually the third. He said, I just checked it to make sure. So Lethbridge is the third largest city still in Alberta, apparently, he says. And I have no reason to disbelieve him. But anyway, Gordon, he's just an inspiration, certainly as we've heard from other people there. He's an inspiration to me, and it's just great to be able to talk and share. And I just always feel buoyed when I meet Gordon and Sylvia and share with them. And we can still disagree or agree on some points, and I think that's great. So many more years to you, Gordon and Sylvia. And thanks again on behalf of the Liberal group.
Well, by way of having the second last word, I'm going to give Gordon the last word. I think that heroes come in many sizes and shapes, and we often think of heroes as being from someplace else. They're always a cabinet minister you bring in, or a party leader, or some person who's written a book or something like that. But I've come to understand in my years here that Gordon is one of those heroes, and certainly a hero of mine. And towers above in so many ways in courage and passion, as well as in thoughtfulness. And so I celebrate that. And I just want to celebrate one or two other things as I close. I've often appreciated the marvelous discussion and debate and question and expertise that comes from the audience as we gather on Thursdays. And occasionally, you see a speaker come into town and underestimate the crowd they're speaking to and talk down to them or assume that any kind of spin will fly in this group. And I've witnessed them often being undressed and reprimanded and humbled. And that's a testimony to the kind of people who attend this and the thoughtfulness that they bring to it. And no matter what the subject is, I always feel enlightened, because if the speaker isn't full of expertise, the crowd certainly is, and so I just celebrate that. And as we hand the mic over to Gordon, I want to lift up three sessions that stand out in my mind as I look back over the 16 years, I think, that I've been involved with this, in no particular order. But I remember when health care was raging in this province, we brought the Deputy Minister of Health in, and we just packed this room from one end to the other. And we established that deputy health minister was ill-informed and ill-equipped and ill-advised. And I remember that health minister was replaced in a month or two. And I don't know whether we had any effect on it, but we certainly established that the change of deputy minister was well-advised. And I missed the session with Romeo Dallaire, but I know that was an overwhelming session for many people, and once again, one of those times when the world came to our doorstep, and we were all different because of it. The other time I remember was when Stéphane Dion came to speak, and we were crowded into the small dining room, and I believe it was the first time that I saw a standing ovation in this group, and we don't grant that honor to people very often, but he was very authentic, and in that size of group, he impressed, and people stood up without any leadership from anybody and gave a standing ovation. And so those are three highlights that occur to me, and you will have other highlights. Sometimes we brought in speakers who were not very popular, and there weren't a great many people here, but we still felt it was a kind of discussion that needed to happen and ought to happen in a civilized and healthy community. Those are my comments. My hero, Gordon, would you like to speak?
Two things that are heavy on my heart, and then a final word.
We're going to pick up the mic.
Sorry. How's that? Okay. All right. Thanks. One, it was at a Council of Public Affairs meeting. I was standing on this platform thanking the speaker who was sitting beside me today, and I stepped backwards right there and broke my hip.
Oh.
You were the first person on your knees immediately because you thought I had died. I thought I had died too, and I came later in the hospital to know that I had. It was a serious fracture, and I nearly went out of my skull and nearly died. But it was at a Council of Public Affairs that I knew that I was surrounded by people who cared. They were not indifferent, either to me or to the issues that we were discussing. And it helped me, really, to know I was in that kind of a supportive community. On the other hand, since Sylvia and I have come here, we had come here at one point when I was director of adult education for the province of Saskatchewan. I worked closely with Tommy Douglas. Sylvia and I, for the first time, I think you too, walked the gutters in holding a banner for Medicare. And it was a huge battle against the combined golden resources of the Alberta Medical Association, Saskatchewan Medical Association, the Canadian Medical Association, and the American Medical Association. And still the idea eventually was defeated by the leadership of Tommy Douglas. It was a great privilege to be in that province with him at that time and being part of the government. However, when we came here to Council of Public Affairs and to Alberta, we were on the other side. Alberta is a highly partisan province. There's no other place in Canada that sends their federal minister to Ottawa with a 20,000 plurality, I think. You beat 20,000, you're a better man than I am. It's a huge, huge spread then to spend our lifetime in Alberta and with our children to know that we are on the other side of the majority opinion, personally. But c'est la vie, that's the deal. And we have enjoyed the Council of Public Affairs as the way, as I mentioned earlier, we could have very good relations with Ruth, very good relations and with your parents, but also on the other side, very good relations with so many people who thought differently on some kinds of issues, but that didn't help our interfere at all with our friendship, not a bit, and it hasn't. So those are the things that come to mind when I think of something less stellar about being in the Council of Public Affairs, but most of all, how can I tell you what a privilege it has been to be a servant of the people, to try to put my energy and my passion, which I know is there, that we have to maintain dialogue, informed dialogue, in a democratic community if we're going to survive what's happening in McMurray now, if what's happening in the environment up there and indeed, what's happening to democracy in Alberta? 41% of the vote in the last election, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Of the voters voted in the last election. This is shocking. And this is one of the services of many kinds that the Council of Public Affairs does in its little way, constantly every Thursday, to bring an issue of consequence, which the Council debates before it gets to the city, and keep the debate going. We were helped in that debate by the Lethbridge Herald, one of the partners. An extraordinary service the Herald does. I think it's an extraordinary paper. A whole extraordinary service by free, of course, without charge, to the Council of Public Affairs by advertising its concerns. And the university, of which we are a partner to, has been very gracious, constantly supportive. We are always wanting them to be on hand, but not too much. So we have enjoyed the friendship of people at the university throughout our time that has been here. So to you who have come today, it's most gracious of you to come to hear this talk about our collective work. But I never see it as a function of one person. I have been conscious of the fact that somebody has been around for meetings every year for 40 years and on the executive, and sometimes the executive was down to two or three people. We got more somehow, persuaded more, constantly persuaded more. and constantly is pointing up Ruth Elzinga and say, Ruth, come on, come on. It's not bad. You won't get hurt. So thank you for arranging this function. It's memorable. It's been so moving and so sincere. I told Sylvia before I came I wanted to run away. I'd probably cry a little. Yes, Council of Public Affairs means so much to me, and the association so much. And I've spent so many hours in debate, and I've gone home frustrated. And I say, well, why don't they move faster? And agree. You know that's happened. But I'm pleased with having the privilege and the honor of being here. And also, the last word, and probably the most important word, Sylvia has been with me. We have been together all the time on the Council of Public Affairs. We discuss it over spaghetti at night at home. You can't imagine the discussions that we have that emerge into a Council of Public Affairs meetings sometime, sooner or later, some way or another. So Sylvia's been at the heart and soul of the Council of Public Affairs. Every debate, every telephone call, everything gets thoroughly discussed and analyzed, and so on. So I'm very grateful. I want to express publicly my love and my appreciation for our partnership. Thank you all.
Thank you so much for coming. Next Thursday is the AGM, and then we take a summer break, and then would you believe the 41st year of Southern Alberta Council begins in the fall. Thank you.